God bless you. I want you to take the Word of God, please. Turn to the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 3. I'm going away from my series studies today. I have three series going on. We have the Old Testament book of Genesis going on, the New Testament book of Matthew, and the topical series of night scenes of Scripture. This morning, I'm not preaching on any three of those. I'm going to something completely different. 1 John chapter 3, we're just going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 11. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. I appreciate your prayers for my wife. She's doing well. She's getting back slowly, but surely it seems to be. And I appreciate your prayers for her. All the phone calls and cards and those meals and so on. Glory. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark that phrase, love one another. Love one another. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. Help us to preach with clarity. May you speak to our hearts and challenge us from your word. May you deal with us thoroughly. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. I need your power. I need your strength. Would you strengthen my body, my mind, and everything else, Lord? I pray that you'll speak through your word to us tonight, this morning, in a great way. Help us to be better as we leave than when we came. We love you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. I understand Miss Edith Lawson is in the hospital, correct? And so on. We need to pray for her and ask the Lord to help her during this time, okay? When we're born into this world, we're born sinners who are members of the family of Satan. However, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess our sin, and receive Him as our Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that He adopts us into His own family. Now, with this in mind, all born-again children of God are members of the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And now that we're in the same family, God gives us a command to keep concerning each other. 1 John 3, 11 and 23 says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." 1 John 4, 7, 11 and 21 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." John 13, 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." John 15, 12 and 17, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." 1 Peter 1, 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." 2 John verse 5 says, "And now beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." Now as we can see, it's the will of God that we love each other. As a matter of fact, if we do not love each other, we are out of God's will. You cannot be right with God with hate, resent, or bitterness in your heart for a brother or sister in Christ. It's impossible. The book of 1 John speaks much of this love. We want to look at this love in this book particularly, and we're going to be turning to other places, if you will, at least one that I know of. But we're going to be focusing most of our attention here in 1 John and look at this kind of love that God wants His children to have for one another. First of all, I want you to notice this love's manner. What kind of a manner of love is it to be? And the first major thing we're going to be considering is this manner of love that God wants us to have one toward another. In other words, what sort of love is it that we're to love one another with? Now, we find the answer to this mainly in chapters 3 and 4 and in John chapter 15. Now, it's interesting right here In chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 John, look at it. It says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Look at chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Look at this. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now I want you to hold your place here in 1 John, because we're coming back to this. But flip over to the book of John, chapter 15. You're in 1 John. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Look at John chapter 15 and beginning with verse number 9. John chapter 15 and verse number 9. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And He makes a powerful statement here. Notice what He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now let me ask you a question. How much does God the Father love God the Son? Indescribable love, isn't it? Indestructible love. There's no question about that. And here's what Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so with the same kind of love do I love you. But notice in verse number 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now notice verse number 12 closely. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now here's what God says. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus said, as God the Father loves me, with that same love is what I love you with. And I want you to love each other with the same love that I love you with. Now, folks, that's a tall order. And may I say this to you? That's impossible in human flesh. There is no way that you and I can love our brothers and sisters the way God loves us and the way Jesus loves me and the way God the Father loves God the Son. May I say that? Let me just say this right off the bat. If you're going to follow this commandment of loving one another, it's a work of God in your heart. That's what I'm saying. If you hold resentment or bitterness or anger towards another brother or sister in Christ, it's because you're not allowing the Lord God Almighty in your heart to work in such a way that He wants to work. Now, what kind of a manner of love is this? What kind of love is it that God wants us to love one another with? It's the same love that God loves His Son, God the Father loves God the Son, and God the Son loves us. What kind of love is it? Let me give you some thoughts here. First of all, this is all under the manner of it. It's a gracious love. A love that is presented even when the recipient is unworthy. May I say to you that in chapter 3, 1 John, turn back there, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Verse number 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Look at chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, just as Jesus proved His love by His actions on our behalf for our need, even so we should help each other in time of need by giving of ourselves. God's love here, folks, listen to me now. These people, you and I, we did not deserve the love of God. I didn't deserve Him to love me. You didn't deserve Him to love you. We don't deserve His love, yet graciously He gave us His love. So if we're going to love one another as He loves us, the manner of love it is, it's a gracious love. You ever heard somebody say this? Well, you don't understand what he did to me. You don't understand what she did to me. I will not love them. I've got a right to be bitter. Really? Do you really? Because God says we're to love one another as He loves us. And my friends, I'm glad He had a gracious love in His heart. His love was a gracious love. Now, secondly, it was an active love. Loving one another as God loves us is an active love. It shows and manifests itself by allowing actions to speak louder than words. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. It says, herein perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I'm telling you, look at verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, just as Jesus proved his love by his actions, so should our love be proven by our actions. God's love is an active love. He proves his love by what he does, in other words. Let me ask you a question. Are you proving by your actions that you love the brethren? Number one, we're just looking at the manner of this love. What kind of love is it? Well, it is a gracious love. It's an active love. Number three, it's a causing love. Loving one another as God loves us is a love that causes love in return. Did you know that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, look at it. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. See, the reason we love Christ is because he has caused us to by loving us unconditionally. Even if we didn't love him, he still loves us. And he proved it by his love. And because he loved us, when we get a grasp of that, it causes us to love him in return. Let me ask you a question. Are you causing others to love you by the way you love them? Let me tell you why some people don't have many friends. Because he that wants friends, I'm paraphrasing, must show himself friendly. And if you want to be loved, start showing love. The bottom line is Christ initiated our loving him by his first loving us. Somebody says, well, I'm just going to sit back and wait on that person to come. I'm just going to sit back and wait on that person to make the first step. I mean, I don't mind to forgive them if they'll come ask me for it. Are you listening to me? That's not the love of God. The love of God is a causing love. The love of God loves in spite of being loved or not being loved. I'm telling you, what kind of manner of love is it? It is a gracious love. It's an active love. It's a causing love. Number four, it's a present love. Simply put, this means that this love is right now. It's always in the present tense. 1 John 4, 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath, that's present tense, hath to us. He loves you right now. The love of God is always present. I wonder, is ours? Some people love each other as long as they cooperate. Wait, God loves us presently, and we are to love one another at all times. Now, I'm not naive enough to believe that in a crowd this size of folks who come to this church, you claim this church to be your church and all these kind of things. In other words, this is where God has you coming and all these kind of things. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt that there's some Christian that's bitter against another Christian. There's no doubt that there's some Christian who doesn't like that Christian very much. And I'm telling you, that is demonic. That is satanic. And somebody needs to get their heart right. Number one, it's manner. Number two, this loving one another, not only its manner, but secondly, its manifestation. The Word of God tells us loving one another manifests some things. It brings some things out to the forefront. There's a couple of these I want to give you today. First of all, it manifests that we know God. It manifests that we know God. You know, the one major thing that loving one another, the brethren, manifests is true biblical salvation. Now, I want you to consider these verses and see if this is not what God is saying. Look at chapter 3, verse number 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Look at verses 14 and 15. We know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Look at verse number 17. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? Look at verse number 19. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Look at verse 23. And this is his commandment that ye should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Look at verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, if that's not what God is saying, I don't understand the Bible, friends. God is saying if you're really saved, now he's not saying you're perfect. He's not saying that you're not going to struggle with hard feelings. It has nothing to do with it. But down deep in your heart, God, the Holy Spirit, he gives you a kindred spirit with other children of God. And there's a love in your heart towards other family members. This is what God is teaching. This love manifests, number one, that we know God. Number two, it manifests that we love God. In chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. That's pretty straightforward. I mean, wouldn't you agree? He's saying, if a man say, oh, I love God, but you hate your brother, God said, you're a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Chapter 5, verses 1 and following, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, look at verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. I'm telling you that if you say you love God, it will manifest itself in the way you love other human beings. Now, it's interesting. When we truly love God, we love one another. Now, I wonder today, if I ask you right now, do you love God? No doubt, maybe 100% of you would say, yes, I love God. Yes, I love God. You know what God's saying? He's saying, prove it. And you prove it by the way you treat each other. And you prove it by the way you love each other. Rosemary was the youngest child of the parent that told this story here. She was 3 years old, this little girl. She was given a little rag doll, which quickly became an inseparable companion to her. She had other toys that were far more valuable than this little rag doll, but none that she loved like she loved the rag doll. Soon this rag doll became more and more rag and less doll, if you will. It also became more and more dirty. If you tried to clean the rag doll, it became more ragged still. And if you didn't try to clean it, the rag doll became dirtier still. And the sensible thing to do was to trash the rag doll. But the parent goes on to say, but that was unthinkable for anyone who loved my child. Because this parent said, if you love Rosemary, you love the rag doll. It was part of the package. In other words, that rag doll wasn't much to look at. It's more rags and doll. If you tried to clean it, it just got worse. It damaged it, but if you didn't clean it, it got dirty. Somebody said, just throw it away. That's the easiest thing. But the parents said, no, that wasn't even an option to throw it away. Because that doll was a part of my girl. And if you really love my daughter, you'd love the rag doll because she loved it so much. Well, that's a great illustration, isn't it? Somebody looks up and says, you don't understand. Look at them. Look at them. Can't believe they're doing that. Can't believe they did that to me. Look how dirty they are and ragged they are. They're good for nothing. Just get rid of them. Our church would be better off without somebody like that. Our bus routes would be better off with somebody riding it like that. Our family would be better off if we just cut them off, not even speak to them again. Let me tell you one reason you ought to love other people. It's because God loves them, friends. And if you love God, you'll love others. You getting it? This is its manifestation. Then there's a third thing about this love. Not only its manner, its manifestation, but number three, its message. You know, there are those today who are absolutely in a mess. They're wandering through life aimlessly. However, loving one another has a message for God's children today. There are some great things available for those who love one another. In other words, if you truly love one another the way God wants you to love them, God has a message for you, is what I'm trying to say. First of all, the message is you can have confidence toward God. Look at this in chapter 3, verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwell the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, if we have a conscience that does not oppose us, after a thorough search with sincerity in the sight of God, then we can have confidence. You know what that word confidence means? It means boldness toward God. In other words, God's saying if you love one another, when you think about me, you can have boldness and confidence. He's saying that there, it is possible to come to the point in time in your life when you realize that there is nothing between you and me. Confidence toward God. You can have boldness toward God. Number two, the second message is this: God will hear your prayers. We see this in chapter 3, verse 21 and following. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. He's saying, if you keep his commandments, you can have confidence that he's listening to you when you pray. You can get a prayer through. And he said, oh, by the way, here is my commandment, that you believe on the name of the Son of God and that you love one another. This simply tells us if we're not loving one another, God is not listening to us. It's almost like God saying, if you refuse to love each other, I will not listen to your prayers. I want to know when I pray that God is hearing me, don't you? I want to know when I pray that my prayer is getting through. And one way to do this is to love one another. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. God saying, if you come to the altar and you give sacrificially and you come to me, but there you're reminded, wait a minute, I'm not right with that person, or that person's not right with me. He's saying, leave your gift at the altar. It doesn't mean anything to me right now. First go be reconciled, then come and offer your gift. He didn't say don't offer it. He didn't say don't come to the altar. But he's saying those things, those actions of trying to be spiritual and giving towards things and all these guys, he says it means nothing. It's empty. It's nothing to me if you're at aught against another brother or another sister. God help Buffalo Ridge. I'm telling you, we've got great unity here that I know of. I don't know of anything going on that's disunity in this church. But I know how the devil works. And I know the devil will try to get inside this church. And one way he's going to try to get inside this church is he's going to try to get in another Christian to get bitter towards another child of God. And if he can do that, he'll get a stronghold in this church. I'm telling you that this is one of those issues. I realize it may be a private issue in your heart. I don't know if there's somebody in this life that you can't stand, and somebody that's done you wrong, and you say, Jody, you just don't understand what I've gone through. You're exactly right. I don't understand, but I do know this. God is our example. And the Lord loved us even when we were unlovely. And we need to love one another as he loves us. If we do, the message is we can be confident towards him. God hears our prayer. And number three, the third message is you can have boldness in the day of judgment. The Bible says this in chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Looking towards the judgment day with boldness instead of dread and fear. As you know, there's two judgments coming. There's the great white throne, which is for non-believers, and there's the judgment seat, which is for believers. We're not going to be judged for our sin, but for our works and the motives of our works. And God's saying this, judgment day is coming. But you do not have to look towards it with dread. You can look towards it with boldness. I'm telling you, I wonder right now, are you dreading judgment? Or are you looking forward to it? Are you bold towards it? You don't have to be terrified at God's presence. You can look forward to it. You know, what a message this is from loving one another. We're looking at the manner, we're looking at the manifestations, now we're looking at the message. And the message is, if you love one another the way God wants you to love each other, you can have confidence toward Him. He will hear your prayers. You can have boldness in the coming judgment. Then number four, the fourth and final thing that we're going to look at today about this love, not only its manner, its manifestations, and its message, but number four, let's notice its motives. As we look at loving one another, a logical question is, why should I love my brother? Why should I love my sister? Why should I love him or love her no matter what they do? No matter what they do, why should I love them? Jody, you're telling me that God expects me, even though they did that, even though they said that, He expects me to forgive and to love and for it to be a gracious love, an active love. Are you telling me He wants me to love them now? That's exactly what I'm telling you. More importantly, it doesn't matter if that's what I'm telling you. That's what He's telling you. Let's notice the motives. There's two major motives. Why should you do this? I've already answered the first one, but here it is. God's commanded us to. That's why. 1 John 3:11, look at it. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Look at verse 23. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Chapter 4, verse 7, verse 11, verse 21, look at it. Beloved, let us love one another. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 21. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. What I'm saying to you here is that a major motive of loving one another with this gracious love, this active love, this causing love, this present love. I'm talking about loving somebody when they're unlovely, loving somebody when they don't deserve it, loving somebody when they do wrong to you, loving somebody when they're unloving, whatever it is, loving like God. Why should we do that? Well, we should do it because He commanded us to. The Christian life has been simplified. It really has. What I mean by that is that God has made life where it's not made up of many decisions. In other words, the devil tries to get you to look at life like this. Look at all these things you've got to do. What are you going to do about this and this and this and this and that and that? What are you going to do about all these things? What are you going to do about that problem and this problem and that? Listen, that's how the devil wants you to look at life, but not God. The devil tries to say, look at all these decisions you've got to make. God says there's only one decision you have to make. And you have to make it over and over again. You know what that decision is? What does God want me to do here? What is pleasing to God in this area? What is God's will in this area? Do you know God has a will in every area of your life? I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. God has a will in it. So look at life simplified. It's not, what am I going to do about all these things? No, it's, God, what do you want me to do about this? What is your will in this? And God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to love each other the way I love you. Does He have a right to tell us what to do? Sure He does. If you want to be right with Him, you would say, yes, sir, I'm going to get rid of that bitterness. I'm talking about allowing the power of God to get rid of it. So I'm going to come, I'm through being bitter, I'm through being angry, I realize that this is not hurting anybody but myself, and you say, Jody, what about these people who treat me wrong? Are you listening to me? God can deal with them a whole lot better than you can. And I'm telling you that you need to make sure your heart is right with God and come to this altar and say, God, forgive me for not being loving Help me to love them the way you love me. I'm telling you. Number two, it's motives. Not only God's commanded us, but number two, this is just kind of summarizing what this whole message is about anyway. But the second motive is God has loved us. In chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God's saying, if there's bitterness, get it out. If there's malice and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, whether it be in your home or in your mind, whatever it is, God says, put it all away from you. And He's saying, rather be kind to each other. Be tenderhearted towards people and forgive them. And He goes on. You know, it'd be one thing if He stopped it right there, but He didn't. It's a comma right there. And He says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Our motive for loving one another is to be right with God, and He loved us even when we did not deserve it. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. It's the will of God that we love each other, friends. We've seen the manner, manifestation, message, and motive of this love. And I wonder, are you truly loving one another? James 5, 9 says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Let me ask you this question. Is there somebody in this life, maybe even in this auditorium, God forbid it, but is there somebody in this life, a family member, an extended family member, a mom, a dad, whatever, a brother, a sister, a co-worker, a neighbor, is there somebody in this life that you cannot stand? I can't stand them. The world would be better off without them. I hope they get what's coming to them. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad God didn't let me get what's coming to me. And how it must break the heart of God to see His children. When He said, I've loved you and I've forgiven you and I've changed your life with an everlasting, gracious, loving, tender-hearted love. If anybody had the right to be bitter and angry, it was God. And when His Son was hanging on the cross, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ both, I'm telling you, that when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The first time that He did not address Him as my Father, He addressed Him as His God. Because at that time was when God the Father turned His back on God the Son. And our sin was laid upon Him. And when you answer that question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what the answer to that question is? Let me tell you why He forsook Him. For you and for me. Let me tell you why He did it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. May God help Christians to love each other. No matter what happens and no matter what they've done, may God give us His love to our fellow human beings. That's the will of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving me strength. Thank you for the message. Would you help us today to be more like you? Help us today, Lord God, to please you. And I pray in the privacy of people's hearts today that you are working in a great way. And I pray that you help somebody to get victory over bitterness, help somebody to get victory over anger and wrath, clamor. And help somebody today to realize that it's too big for them, but that you want to help them with it. Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Are you a brother or a sister in Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you been saved? I'm not asking, do you hope so? Do you think so? I'm asking, do you know so? God provides a know-so salvation, not a hope-so salvation. And we today say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I know the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. You know the Lord as your Savior. Put it up big and high. God bless you. Thank you. Is there somebody here today that says, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that? But you're talking about this God who turned his back on his Son. And the Son of God who shed his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary. He was buried and rose again. And you're saying he did all that for me? Yes, he did all of it for you. Because he loves you. He loves you. Maybe here today you say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know that God. I'd like to trust him as my Savior. I'd like to know I'm saved. I don't know that right now, but I'd sure like to. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air? If you'll put it up, put it right back down. I'm not going to draw attention to you or anything like that. Just want to help you. I want to help you. Let me ask you this question. I want you to be honest. I want you to be honest. Have you say, Jody, there's somebody in this life. Now, I'm not going to ask you who it is. It's none of my business. But have you say, Jody, there's somebody in this life that as you're preaching and right now, as I'm thinking and meditating, there's somebody right now that God has on my heart. Somebody that he's revealed to me that I've not been loving them the way that I need to. It may be somebody that you even consider an enemy in your life, but God has put his finger on this and he's reminding you there was a time when you were an enemy of mine. I loved you so much I sent my Son to die in your place. And if I can sacrifice my Son, surely you can sacrifice those feelings. Be honest, folks. You say, Jody, God is speaking to me. And I realize that there's somebody that I need God's help to help me get over it. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand in the air? Be honest about it. Be honest about it. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. If you raised your hand, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. I realize a message like this, people might think, well, if I go forward, somebody's going to think that I'm not right with God. Listen to me, friends. Get over the fact of what other people might think. Who cares what another human being thinks when you're doing what God wants you to do? Why don't you come and give it to God? Ask the Lord to help you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Father, take it. Use it in a great way. Speak to hearts. Challenge us from your word. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing with your heart, leave your place now and come. Would you do that? As he sings, come on, folks. Come talk to God about it. Come talk to the Lord about it. God, help people to come. Say, God, help me to start loving. Get over these things.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
playing through softly. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. People are coming. If you're still standing, you can look this way. We're dealing with some folks. I didn't want to say this at the first, but I've been sick all day yesterday. So I'm really not in a bad mood, okay? I'm just not feeling up to par right now. That's why I'm stationary in the pulpit. Because if you typically come, I'm running around everywhere, right? You're probably saying, man, he's behind the pulpit for some reason, you know? Now you pray for me. I want to make that clear because I didn't want anybody to think, boy, he seemed down today. I'm not down. I'm just not feeling well, okay? So I appreciate your prayers. I challenge you with this. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. And when you really see how much God loves you, you'll have no problems loving somebody else. That's really the message, you know? Amen. Well, Steve, come here just a moment if you don't mind. Just keep on playing over there. Madison Cole, right over here to my left. God bless you. She came in on bus number one today. And you're coming today, Madison, and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Am I right? We're so happy for you. God bless you. She's a third grader and a beautiful little girl. And we're so happy for you. You know what that means? That means now you're going to heaven someday. Isn't that great? We hope you'll stay on that bus with us. And bring some of your friends. Try to get your mom and dad to come be with you. And we're so happy for you. If you're happy for her, say a big amen. God bless you. Then we've got, oh my, this mom and dad's been a mess. No, I'm just kidding with you. All of you want to stand here. This is Allison Davis, Lord and Angela, her mom and dad. She was saved at home. Am I right by saying that? I always am thrilled when a mom and dad have the opportunity to lead their child to Christ. And you do know that Jesus died for you, correct? And you've asked Him to come into your heart and forgive your sin? You're a beautiful girl. I've put in a good word with my son about you, okay? Somebody's got your front teeth, though, it looks like. Have you happy for her? Say a big amen. She wants to join our church by baptism. Our baptismal service will be the end of this month, God willing. Could I have the pleasure of the church that we accept her by baptism? Brother Snodgrass, second. Brother Pollard, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. God bless you. I'd like for you all to stay here. If we want to take her out, you know, to make sure that she gets on the bus, we're glad you're here, sweetheart. God bless you. Amen. Wonderful. Be back tonight, 5:30 tonight is the financial seminar, question and answer session, all these kind of things. Hope you'll be here for that. And pray, continue to pray for my wife and these precious children and these that are being dealt with right here, okay? God bless you, folks. Let's pray. I'm going to dismiss you. If you wouldn't mind to sign that petition, if you feel like the Lord would have you to do that, they're out there. Sign that petition. Call these commissioners and all these kind of things. Email them. That'd be great. Father, we love you. Bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If many of you come by and shake the Davis's hands, let them know you're happy for them today.